Right, so my name is Richard Gamble. I'm here to tell you about the Wall of Answer Prayer. So this project is going to be just up the road, just by the M42, between the M6. And the idea is to build this massive monument that we will be able to tell people about the God who answers prayer. It's really simple. I just want to tell people he's alive, that he listens when we pray, and that he answers. And I've been on this journey for 15 years. And so before I tell you about what we're doing and tell you some of the amazing stories, and it was great to hear Richard's story of just saying by amazing coincidence, if you got any one of our team, they would tell you exactly the same story of amazing coincidences that have got them here. It has been an incredible journey. But I thought I'd tell you first why I'm doing it. I think that's an important question. It's like, why on earth are we doing this? So if you could turn to, if you have page 182, it's Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. There we go. And one of the things, when I started on this process, I thought God was going to teach me lots about prayer. But what he's also been teaching me is the importance of remembering. And you know, the Bible is just absolutely filled with remembrance. That the psalm that we heard this morning was all about remembering God's amazing deeds. And so Deuteronomy 4 verse 9 says, "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live, and teach them to your children and to their children after them." So why is it so important that we remember? And why is that filled in the Word of God? And if you're not sure whether it is, let me just give you some examples. They built wells in the Old Testament to remember what God had done in that place. They named it to remember the miracle or the divine intervention. Or they laid stones to remember what God had done. And if you read when they crossed the Jordan and the Jordan parted, they told the men to get 12 big stones to represent each tribe from the river base of the Jordan, and to carry them to Gilgal. And they made a monument out of 12 stones. And if you look in Judges, I'm not going to tell you where, you're going to have to work it out, but if you look in Judges, there's a story who one of the judges who was inspired seeing those 12 stones to act for God. And that's hundreds of years later. So there's a precedent there. We've gone for 1 million instead of 12. Go big or go home. But there's other things of remembrance, of course, that the rainbow is there to remind us that God is never going to flood the earth again. Did you know that when a shepherd has his staff, in Old Testament times, when a shepherd was sort of looking after his flock and praying for God's provision and praying for God's protection, that he would make a mark on his staff? And he would make a mark on his staff to remind him what God had done. So I believe that when Moses is there and he's standing in front of the Red Sea, we were watching it with my kids. Our movie night was Prince of Egypt last night. And I just all the way through went, no, that's not quite happened. That's not quite happened. But I didn't do that. I didn't ruin it for the kids. But the bit where Moses holds up his staff, the question is, was he looking at the sea going, oh, this is going to be a bit tricky? Was he looking at the armies going, I'm in real trouble here? Or was he looking at the staff? And was he looking at the marks on the staff and remembering all the amazing things that God had done? Because here's the thing. When we remember what God has done, it gives us hope. When we know that God has already done it once, it's easier to believe he can do it again. And in our prayers, when we're praying, you know, sometimes when we pray, we can be full of fear. Maybe that's just me. Is that just me? Just, you know, do you, so I have a thing called the midnight madness, right? So the midnight madness, if you read Psalm 77, in Psalm 77, I think the psalmist is going through the midnight madness, where all of a sudden, everything seems really dark. It's like at the end of the day, your boss has said to you, oh, I'd like to see you in the morning about something. And then you go home and then you wake up in the middle of the night, what's he want to see me about? He's going to sack me. I'm going to be made redundant. And then by 3 a.m., not only have you lost your job, but you're completely unemployable and homeless. You know, it spirals out of control. And that's what the psalmist is doing in Psalm 77. It's spiraling out of control. And then all of a sudden he says, but I will remember the deeds of the Lord Most High. And then he starts to remember what God has done. And when you remember what God has done, it gives you hope. And so I believe that if we can, like just sharing a story with the younger generation there, I believe that the reason that we're doing this is that if we can share stories of what God has done, it will give people hope that he's a God who answers prayer. So let me give you one story, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about the wall. So I had a disease in my spine. Okay, I started getting the symptoms when I was 17 years old. It wasn't diagnosed until I was 27, but it was a disease called ankylosing spondylitis, and it causes all the vertebrae to fuse and the bones to grow over, and you become less and less supple. And I was, excuse me, I was at the stage where, do you know what, I think I've left my phone on, I am so sorry. And my mum's probably texting me, or it's the rugby score. Sorry. I'll throw that to Helen. You can sort that out for me, thank you. Helen's on our team, and she messes, clears up all my messes all the time. So, where was I? I was being healed, wasn't I? So, I'd got this disease in my spine, and I was... what happens is you become less and less supple. I couldn't pick up my kids. I was getting to the stage where I was having to lie down for multiple hours during the day. And then I was, one night, so I would wake up in the middle of the night, like 2 a.m. at night, and my rib cage would be in spasm and I couldn't breathe. And it would like go on for like, it was probably only 30 seconds, but it felt like a lifetime. And I felt like, okay, this is probably how I'm going to die. And I'd been going to different consultants and stuff, and then I went to this doctor, and he said, Mr. Gamble, he said, your back is like a car in a traffic jam. We can give you medicine to slow the car down. He said, but eventually, at some point, the car is going to get to the end of the road, and then you're stuffed. That was my encouraging word from my GP that day. I know they all do a good job, and I'm sure there's some GPs here, but that he was not that encouraging. And I came out, and I came out really angry. And I was like, I'm not going to allow the word of an expert to overrule the word of God. So I started praying in a different way. Now, I'd been prayed for my back, I can't tell you how many times, loads of times. But over the years, I was like, God is definitely going to heal me one day. And then about a week later, this guy said, it was almost like he described all my symptoms. And I went forward and he said, do you mind if I pour oil down your back? And I was like, all right then. It ruined my shirt for the record. But he poured this oil down my back and it just, my spine went hot. And then a few weeks later, I went for an MRI scan and they went, the disease is gone, completely healed. God can do anything. God can do anything. And in Revelation it says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, Revelation 12, which means if you tell a testimony, if you tell something that God has done, you're actually changing the atmosphere for that miracle to happen again. So just me telling that story has changed the atmosphere in this room. Now imagine what it would be like if we could plant a million stories in the heart of the nation, you know, if there's one thing our nation needs right now, it's hope. You know, and just imagine what we could do if we could give this nation a million stories of hope. And that's why we're doing building the wall of answer prayer. Sorry. So one of the things we want to do is we don't want to do that. What is that? I don't know what that one is. Oh yeah, okay. Well, that is that photo, would you believe? We'll go back to that. But wow. So that photo was going to be a photo of a million people who queued outside the churches in this nation. Did you know that that happened? Did you know that nearly 80 years ago, King George VI went on the radio, and this was in the midst of World War II, and he said to the nation, and he said, in this time of great trial, and that at this point they had nearly 350,000 soldiers on the beaches of Dunkirk, and Churchill had been told that he was only going to be able to get 20 to 30,000 out. And he said, in this time of great trial, we will do what our forefathers have done before us, and we will call on the Lord Most High. And so the whole nation was called to prayer on the 26th of May, 1940. And there are photographs, a bit better than that one I showed you a second ago, of people queuing outside the churches to pray. Now, has anybody seen the film Dunkirk? Okay. At the start of the film Dunkirk, it says, it describes the situation, it describes these people being on the beaches, being totally surrounded, and it said they needed deliverance, they needed a miracle. But the film Dunkirk does not tell you what happened. It does not tell you that a million people queued outside churches to pray. It does not tell you that inexplicably, on the 2 days later, on the 28th of May, Hitler decided to overrule all his generals and stop the advance on Dunkirk. It does not tell you that a few days later, as they planned to take all, as they planned to get all the every fisherman's boat in to rescue these boys off the beaches, that the sea was calm and that a fog came down to allow them to go in. It doesn't tell you that there was a storm over where the German Air Force was that grounded the vast majority. So you've got calm seas here, storm over here, which grounded all the Air Force. Doesn't tell you that there were testimonies of soldiers who, the German Air Force that did get through, there were some soldiers that threw themselves on the floor and were like just on the sand holding their hands as the machine gun fire came in and the bombs came in. And then it all went silent, and then they got up and realized that they weren't hit. And there were silhouettes of their bodies in the sand made up of bullets, like they'd all been deflected off them. Those are true testimonies. Those are true testimonies of what God has done in our nation. And we cannot forget. And we have to make sure that those memories do not fade from our hearts and do not drift off. And we've got to make sure that we tell our children and our children's children. And that is why we're building the wall of answer prayer. And we all have our stories. We all have our stories which are good for us to keep and remember, but we have to tell our generation. So, I have this ridiculous idea to build a national landmark. I don't know what I'm doing, all right? I've never built a national landmark before. I don't even know how to put up a shelf, okay? But I believe it's what God's told me to do. So I find myself on the Claire Balding BBC Two radio show. They go, hey, we've got this guy who wants to build a Christian landmark. I think they were just humouring me and giving me the idiot slot. And we needed to raise, to begin with, £45,000 to run a global competition to get this thing designed. This is how we started. We had no land, we had no idea, we had no money, but that's what we decided to do. And what happened was, I needed to raise 45,000 in 40 days. And I don't know if you know how it works, but if you hit the target, you get the money. If you're a pound below, you get nothing. And basically, with 4 days to go, we're a mile off. We're an absolute mile off. Nobody is answering my phone calls anymore. Nobody is responding to my emails at church. People are like, all right, Rich, how you doing? All right, good. Yeah, great. Nobody wants to talk to me. I am, you know. And I went up and I did something that I've never done in my life before. I decided to pray through the night. And I prayed through the night and I felt God speak to me clearly. And he said, your job is to be at peace. Don't phone anybody. Don't email anybody. Don't nag anybody. Just be at peace. 4 days left. It took me 2 days to be at peace. 2 days of, oh. And then I just decided, right, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to trust you, God. And with 2 days to go, on the penultimate day, all the money came in. It's just incredible. From countries all over the world, people I don't know who they were. Claire Boulding's producer is on the phone going, we can't believe you did it. You know, I'm like, well, yeah. I'm thinking, I can't believe you did it. But I knew at that point that God was behind us. And so we ran the competition. I'm going to tell you about the land in a minute. We ran the competition and we had 133 architects from around the world put in their best ideas. And we presented five to Parliament. And then this is the winning design. So to give you an idea of scale, so it is a Mobius strip. So a lot of people say, why are you calling it the wall, Rich? Because the wall divides. But it's a Mobius strip, has only one side, so it doesn't divide. It's an infinity strip representing our infinite God. To give you an idea of scale, this is 50 meters high. So that's three times the height of the Angel of the North. And this would be your view as you come in. And then you actually walk inside the wall and you can see the bricks. And you'll be able to put your phone up and read the stories and be inspired. You'll see the arch on the other side. And then as you walk through, suddenly the wall then starts to shoot up. Because we want to just get people's view looking up. Not looking at who's answered them. Not looking at who's asked for the answer prayers, but the God who answers. And then it suddenly shoots up into the sky. I'm racing through this a little bit. But just give you a flavour of it. Selfie spot, very important for a national landmark. And then, of course, we got some advice from the National Trust that all routes should end at the cafe. So we've got that. So that is a whistle. That's what it's going to look like. And the idea is that we'll have about 300,000 to 400,000 visitors. And we'll have schools and colleges that be able to come in and discover what Christians believe about prayer. And discover the 15 times that the king of this country is called the nation to prayer. Discover the answer prayers that are in the Bible. Discover the answer prayers of Wilberforce and Muller. And all the greats, you know, why should we let those stories fade? And hopefully as well discover your answer prayers. Because what is more powerful for somebody when they're in a storm of life and feeling utterly isolated than reading a story of somebody else who's been in that storm of life and then they find the God who answers? What could help them more? And I want to ask you to help us, okay? In a minute, I'm going to show you a video, but before I do that, I'm going to ask you to help us. Because this is not my project. That was one of the things I learned in the 40 days. It's God's project. As talented as Richard is, and as talentless as I am, it's impossible for me and him to do it. We have a team of 60 people. It's impossible for a team of 60 people to do this. the only way we're going to do this is if the church in this country can be united and do it. And we're going round, and more churches are coming on board. It's just phenomenal, because church can agree in a God who answers prayer, right? So you've got a leaflet on your seat, and I'm going to ask you, can you give us either some time now or some time in the next day of actually writing down your story? And we'll send you by email, we'll send you a little certificate so you know what number your brick is. And when it's all built, you can go and you can type in the number and see exactly where your brick is on the monument. But the more important thing is, you're actually going to be sharing your story with the generations to come. And your story of answer prayer could be the link that helps somebody find the God who answers. And that's why we want you to do it. And so some of them might be crazy ones, like trees nearly falling into houses. Some of them might be you just finding a lost key. It really doesn't matter. Some of them might be a no. I prayed to Jesus and the answer was no, and this is how God helped me. Some of them might be, I prayed this, but I had to wait for 30 years, or I prayed this, and the answer was nothing like I expected. We want a whole massive range to represent who God is. So, the big question about getting involved is God in this? Is this a good idea, or is it just a load of rubbish? Or is it a God idea? Is it God inspired? And we're going to show a video now, hopefully, which is how God gave us a piece of land worth £30 million. We started with nothing. And when I get the thumbs up, we're going to show you a video of how we prayed and how God answered.
In front of Parliament in this reception with MPs, people from the House of Lords, national press, sharing this vision of wanting to build this national landmark. And I had this little voice in my ear going, you haven't got any money in the bank. You haven't got any land. This is a complete fantasy.
I have to say, it's an incredibly ambitious, stunning project. Personally, I'm hoping it or something like it can come to pass.
It's got a great simplicity about it, and I'm sure it'll be an iconic structure.
It looks visually very impactful. And I think it's going to inspire a lot of people.
So how do you get land when you've got no money? Well, we prayed. And my wife and I went to a conference at a church in California. And this lady came up to us and she said, I've got a word from God for you.
Yeah, I saw heavenly land being given to you. I don't know if you're actually seeking land, property.
So we went back to my intercessors and I said, hey, look, listen to this word. And one of them, this lady called Sue, said, well, if God's told us that he's got the land already prepared, I'm just going to ask him for some more details.
And so I did. I was brushing my teeth and I was just praying. And it wasn't a particularly holy moment. It was just me talking to God like I talked to him. I just said, tell me something about the land. And as soon as I'd finished saying it, he told me, he gave me a word.
And she types the word into Google Maps, and up comes a dental practice. I guess that's God's sense of humour. Above the dental practice is a motorway, and then above that is a piece of land. And Sue circles the piece of land and emails me and says, this is the land, or the person who owns it is highly significant. What she didn't know was one of the family who owned the land had emailed me and asked to meet. So I meet this guy, just share the vision with him, and he's like stony-faced. I have no idea whether he likes it or not. And at the end then, he said, of course you know about the trust fund. and I didn't know about the trust fund. I hadn't done my research. But he had actually started a trust fund 6 months before God had given me that vision 15 years ago. And one of the aims of the fund was to start to build a national landmark, which was going to be about Jesus. So he said he'd go away and pray about it. I thought it was pretty obvious that God was in this. And then he came back a few weeks later and said that he prayed about it and he decided to give us some land. So in 2018, he gave us a piece of land, not the one that was circled, but a few miles away. But then for reasons beyond both our control, that land didn't work. And then a few months later, he gave us another piece of land. And again, that one didn't work. And then eventually they employed an architect to look at their portfolio of land and give us the piece that he thought would best suit us. And guess what? It was the land that Sue had circled only 2 years previous. And it is an incredible piece of land. It's in between two motorways. It's by HS2, high-speed train that's being built. And it's also in a flight path. We think 500,000 people will go past this monument every week. It's going to be absolutely perfect for the Wall of Answered Prayer.
Amazing. And I think on this journey for us, one of the things I've learned is when you've just got a massive thing in front of you, that you don't know how you're going to do it, you've got two options. You've got fear or you've got hope. And hope is a much better place to sit. So let me tell you where we are now really quickly, and I'm sorry that I've overrun a couple of minutes. We are hoping to get this built by 2022. So it's in time for the Commonwealth Games, which means the build is about a year to 18 months, which means we need to start building at the end of 2020, which means that we've got to get our planning application in pretty much now. So we have started the planning process, and we're hoping to submit our planning with the council by the end of November. We actually have a public consultation at the end of this week, so you can find out more details if you want. But we need help, okay? And so I've got my hope or fear, and I'm going to go for hope. I need a big portion of money in the next 5 weeks. I'm not even going to tell you how big it is, it'll freak you out, but it's a big portion of money. But I know that God has done it once for us, so I know he'll do it again and again and again. That's the way it works. But if you feel you can help us, whether it's a pound, whether what it is, that would be amazing. We need finance to get this over the line. But more importantly, I really need your answer prayers. And we have hopefully one last slide. Here we go. We've split up the whole country. This is how many we need from Warwickshire. This is how many we need from Warwick. So can you help us in collecting answer prayers for this town? Can you make sure that Warwick is properly represented? And the stories that God has done in Warwick are in the Wall of Answer Prayer. So I'm going to pray now. Thank you for being so attentive. Sorry for overrunning a few minutes. Father God, I want to pray. I want to thank you, Lord, that you are the God who can. That you are the God who can do just anything. And Lord, I just want to speak to those situations that exist in people's hearts right now, for some people, where fear has taken grasp. And I want to speak in Jesus' name, hope into those situations. Jesus is the answer. And no matter what, how hard the wind is blowing, how hard the storm is, how fierce it is, Jesus is the answer. And I pray, Lord, within this body of people, that there'll be an increased zeal to pray and come to your face and find you the God who answers in increasing measure. Lord, we pray, Lord, for swift answers for some in the power of your name. We pray for testimonies and stories to flourish out of this place. And Lord, for this body to be a people who tell the stories of the things that you have done. But I pray for those individuals here today, Lord, that you would give them hope. In Jesus' name, amen.